You're listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks each week to help you save money and travel better. Let's dive right into this week's show. We're talking about Marriott again and the most recent changes that they've made to their program. These are changes that you need to pay attention to. Not only are they complicated, but they're right around the corner. They kick in on September 14th. And while we knew about some of these changes, there are also some wrinkles, some things that we definitely didn't see coming. I was down in Orlando this week hanging out with Summer from the Points Guy for the opening of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. She and I carved out some time to go through these Marriott changes in depth for you. We're going to get right into it. Let me know what you guys think of the show by shooting me an email at ed@pizzaandmotion.com or hitting me up on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all at Pizza in Motion. And we are on the road this week for the Miles to Go podcast, which oddly enough, I'm on the road almost every week when I record. But this week I'm on the road with my guest, repeat guest on the show, Summer Hull from TPG Family, the original Mommy Points. And we are hanging out at Disney World at the Swan Dolphin, which are Marriott properties now, sadly. And we'll be talking about Marriott and some recent changes that most folks probably aren't going to like. Is that fair to say?
Changes you're not going to like.
Many folks will probably not like these. So let's tee up the changes one at a time, and we'll talk through each one sort of as we go. I think the first one, I guess we can't say it's really a change per se. It's more the eventuality of peak and off-peak pricing is finally here.
You know you're all going to die, and now, like, the day is here, or
right.
Almost here.
So September 14th, we'll move to peak and off-peak pricing. And for just a moment, we'll use the Swan and Dolphin as an example. Summer made me cry just a little bit before we started recording because she reminded me that not too long ago, the Swan and Dolphin at Disney, which are very reasonable options for a Disney vacation, used to be 10,000 star points.
And then you'd get, like, your fifth night free.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, when you convert to Marriott, of course, it's not one-to-one. So it would, you know, if it had translated the way that they translated the points in your account, that would mean that it's 30,000 points a night.
Right.
But it's not.
Right. So it's now 50. But in the new peak and off-peak pricing, it can flex as low as 40, which I would imagine with this property, it never will.
Not when, like, it's a school break, presumably.
Well, I even think the rest of it. I mean, with all the conferences and everything here, they run a pretty high occupancy rate.
See, I haven't given up all hope, though. This is where we differ on this.
All right.
But I don't think that when most families are ready, willing, and able to take a vacation to Disney World, that that's going to be when it's an off-peak date here. I don't think that.
Yeah, I don't think that either. But so the question will be for things like this property and some of the even more popular properties, do they flex up? And so in this case, they would flex up, the Swan Dolphin would flex up from 50 to 60,000.
So now you've gone from 10,000 SPG points, like not that long ago, to 60,000 Marriott points, which is essentially double.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when we think about the way that they plan to lay this out, what they've said they're going to do with peak and off-peak nights, which I think threw me for a bit of a loop, they're going to determine what is a peak or an off-peak day for each property on a monthly basis. And they have brought in the ever-popular word algorithm.
No, see, this is a new word. This is the new word. We've heard all sorts of words from programs. None of them are very friendly words, but this is a new one. They're not saying dynamic. They're not saying, like, revenue-based. They're not saying variable. They're saying algorithm.
Yeah.
Which I think is a synonym for all of these other words, which basically means, like, yet another program is going away from, you know, how much your vacation is going to cost on points. You can save for that. And that can be your goal. All those business trips away from home, all the spending on your credit card. You have an end goal, an end number in mind. And now that's being, you know, one step further from being taken away, or one step closer to being taken away, because you don't know what it's going to cost. It's going to change every month.
Yes.
You still know a range of what it's going to cost. So it's not truly dynamic or variable because there's still set numbers you're operating in. But you don't know, for example, using the Swan and Dolphin where we're at Disney, you don't know if it's going to be 40, 50, or 60,000 points a night. And that's a pretty big range.
Well, especially if you're talking about something where, and we're going to get to points advance in a minute because that's another painful subject. But if you're thinking you might get away with peak price off peak pricing on a specific hotel, and it somehow manages to go from off peak to peak for your dates, yeah, using this example here, that's a 20,000 point per night difference. And when we extrapolate that out to the average family vacation of five or maybe six nights, you're talking about an extra 100,000 points. And even if it only moved 10,000 points a night, you're still talking an extra 50,000 points, which for most folks, when they're saving up their points, would take them a while to save up. And so on a monthly basis, folks are going to have to sort of evaluate the charts. And Marriott did say that they plan to balance peak and off-peak nights, but they have also been asked by and confirmed by others that when they say they're going to balance the number of peak and off-peak nights in the system, that it's not going to be done at a property level or a category level. And right.
So it's not like the St. Regis Maldives has 30 peak and 30 off-peak dates right. in a year.
Right.
It's all of your Marriott properties totaled together.
Right. And what we believe is, well, using that example of the St. Regis Maldives, like that's a property that I would guess that for most of the times when anybody wants to be there, it will flex into peak. And then a property that you and I were talking about not too long ago, about your Field of Dreams post on TPG, the Fairfield Inn in Dubuque, Iowa, where they're having the Field of Dreams baseball game between the Yankees and the White Sox, might have peak pricing the one day of that game.
Yeah, I'm feeling some peak pricing for August 2020.
Yep. But they'll have 11 months of off-peak pricing to balance out the St. Regis Maldives and the Swan Dolphins.
So what you're telling me, Ed, is these properties that are more aspirational in nature where people want to use their points, I just need to assume that those – read the peak end of the chart and just assume that until proven otherwise.
I think so. And I think we're like – you know, we'll certainly see how the first couple of monthly adjustments come. But given the changes that Marriott has made so far, they've rolled some things back. But I think for the most part since the merger, most of what they've done is do it in a way where they'll say they're intentionally doing things and then they'll sort of edge in another direction, like with free breakfast. It's like, yeah. Well, we're going to have free breakfast everywhere except we're not going to have it that way at a Courtyard, and we're not going to have it this way at this
point. Except where we don't. Like right. The Fairfield Anaheim I stayed at near Disney World, or Disneyland, keeping the Disney theme, they just don't have free breakfast.
Right.
Like they just don't, even yeah. though a Fairfield generally should and does.
Yeah.
This one just doesn't, and there's no like real explanation for that. It's weird. Yeah. That said, like I'm a Marriott fan. I like their properties, especially coming from being an SPG fangirl once upon a time. I still have a connection to a lot of these properties and really like what they're doing with them. And I like some of what they're doing with the loyalty program. The points advance changes, which I think we'll get to in a second, frankly, don't bother me as much just because that's not a normal thing in the loyalty world to even have as an option. Well, so they've made it worse, but it's okay if they didn't have it at all in my world. What is worse from these changes is just not knowing what your award is going to cost.
Yeah, and I think where points advance is a concern for me, it's the same as with you. It's not going to affect the way I book. Mm-hmm. But when I think about the folks, and specifically the podcast listeners who are folks who are, you know, learning the game and learning how to make the most out of what they're already spending on, for those folks, most of them are planning one trip a year.
Yeah.
And so for folks who are planning one trip a year where they're staying with Marriott for 50 or 60 nights so they can save up enough points and they're spending on the credit card – and they're doing all the things that Marriott wants them to do, the changes to points advance, I think, are specifically painful because what essentially happens to points advance – well, sorry, let's rewind a second. Points advance before
– tell me what's happening to points advance.
Well, let's tell folks first what it is. So before, if you saw that there was award availability for five nights at a property that you wanted to stay at, you know, we keep coming back to the Swan and the Dolphin because we're sitting here. You're planning your Disney World vacation. You see it's available for 50,000 points a night. Mm-hmm. You could book the five nights even if you didn't have 250,000 points in your account.
Right.
And you just had to have enough points in your account by the time you checked in so you could issue the certificates. What happens now is you can hold the award availability, but the amount of points that you're required to pay will continue to change based on these peak and off-peak prices that you and I have talked about on a monthly basis via the new super secret algorithm. And it will also take into account category changes.
Yeah.
So we normally see those late in the year. And so as those category changes go into effect, somebody could be holding a points advance reservation for next summer, for summer vacation, and their property could change categories. Now, obviously, it could go up, go down, and they could save points. But they've also got to plan for the eventuality of if it does go up, and they've already booked airline tickets because they found cheap airfare, are they going to be able to earn enough points to still be able to take the vacation?
Which is essentially how Marriott's computers have been programmed for at least the last year. You've had to fight to have the old rate honored and have it escalated. And, oh, don't even get me started on flashbacks of hold times with the Marriott.
Yeah, you had a couple,
I've got
disappeared.
Some stories.
Yeah, you had some that you got eaten.
Twitter's much more useful for anyone listening. I do have actionable advice on how to get help with Marriott point problems through their one of their Twitter handles, but yeah, this is how their computer programs are already set, and so that's not going to be a change for them because you've had to manually have these fixed to have an old rate honored on a points advance. It is definitely bad news, no question. I think the reason this one doesn't bother me as much is just because it's not normal in the loyalty world to be able to book something before you have the points, so it's not useful now, but it also doesn't put them at a disadvantage from anyone else particularly. But this movement in general towards something costs whatever we say it costs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how things work with cash. Although once you make a reservation with cash, they can't just change the rate on you.
Right.
But, you know, day-to-day cash rates obviously can and do change. But that was the beauty of points. And that is the beauty of points in some things. They're not cash.
Right.
And if a program... I know Marriott's huge. They don't need my advice. But if a program goes too much towards how cash works, they're taking away the magic of why people care about points.
Yeah.
And you might as well just focus on cash back at that rate, because then you're not locked into anything. You can use it however you want. The beauty of points is being able to do the things you can't do with cash. So, you know, I don't know how it's going to work out in the long run if all these programs go toward making their points more like cash. It'll work for a while, but 5-10 years from now, will it be worth it? Maybe.
Well, it'll work. It'll obviously work when hotels are full, because they have less need to fill rooms with awards. So and I think it's funny because I don't want to sound overly negative. If folks who listen to the podcast on a regular basis know that I'm certainly much more of a Hyatt fan than a Marriott fan. But Hyatt, just like Marriott, says that they believe that people want more experiences. And I think part of how I translate that language nowadays is, well, our hotels are full, so we don't really want you to spend your points inside the hotels. That's not good for us because we can sell the room.
But we want you to want the points because those are a big business.
Right, exactly. So if we sell you these experiences, where most of the experiences, most of the time you're not going to get the sort of value that you get, or at least you used to get out of award nights. You might get experiential value of like, hey, I was able to take my wife to go get a tennis lesson with Andre Agassi. And there's no question, like, that's a priceless thing I'll never be able to get. But, you know, two tickets to a Billy Joel concert at Wrigley Field has a much more defined value. I can look on StubHub and see what those tickets cost. And when those things pop up, they're generally more in the, like, you know, one penny per point range. Versus like maybe the 1.5 cents that a Marriott rewards point is worth now, and certainly nowhere near the 2 to 2.5 cents that a star point might have been worth. But let's also make sure we cover one more change before we run out of time, and it's a minor change, but for Fifth Night Free, which now gets the ever so enhanced title of Stay for five, pay for four. So the way that those will work now is, instead of your fifth night being free, Marriott will charge you for whatever the four highest nights of your reservation are. So if you're staying five nights at the St. Regis Maldives and the fifth night falls in the highest category pricing, that one will definitely be charged to you at that rate. Or if it's the second night or the fourth night, whatever it is, if you happen to mix peak, standard, and off-peak somehow in the same reservation, assuming the algorithm, there's that word again, we'll let you do that, then
it'll dynamically vary.
It'll algorithmically vary. You'll get just the highest priced four nights is what you'll pay. So yeah, this one isn't terribly surprising. I guess I wish they would just take an average of them, which is what it used to happen under SPG. So if you had like a fifth night free, it would just average it out and say, you know, whatever, you know, 10,000 points a night means you're paying 8,000 points a night if you get the fifth night free. So I think that would have been a more fair way to do this. I'm glad the option still continues because I think it's one of the things that makes using your Marriott Rewards points, your Marriott Bonvoy points for longer vacations more valuable, being able to get that fifth night free.
And to be fair, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they're the only program that does this for all members. I know Hilton does it for elites, and it's easy to get Hilton Elite. So it's
sure.
effectively all members, but it's not really. So it is something still that is good. I don't want to poo-poo away all of the cool things the program, because Marriott is the only program that I have legit top tier status. I mean, I'm not the ambassador titanium cubic zirconia level, but like I have Marriott platinum status, and I earn it the old-fashioned way with credit cards and stays, and it's the only program I have that in at the moment. So I do like them. And I knew that these peak off peak things were coming, but you know, I'm waiting for the good news. I haven't seen the good news yet.
Yeah. No, I'm still waiting for the good news myself. We knew peak and off peak was coming. So I think ultimately we do need to give Marriott the benefit of the doubt and wait until at least probably until at least November, because we need to see what comes out September 14th.
Mm-hmm.
And then we need to see a month or two of, you know, like what shifts on a monthly basis and how often are these things going to actually change for folks. Because I think ultimately the tough part I have is you take the typical family planning a vacation, and if they're thinking about a vacation and they don't know this stuff, which, you know, with as many members as Marriott has, they're not going to communicate to whatever 90 million members effectively. So if they just look on the website and they see 60,000 for the Dolphin or the Swan, and they didn't realize if they shifted their dates a week, it would drop to 40. They're stuck with a much bigger bill on points because of this new algorithm.
Bottom line is, if you can make your reservations before September 14th for the next roughly 12 months, you should do that, because then you know what it's going to cost and you can go ahead and lock that in now, and you're not going to be paying peak prices. You can always, I mean, check your cancellation rules, but you can almost always cancel and rebook at the lower rate if you see that your rates are indeed lower, if you somehow left your way into off-peak situation. But if you want to go somewhere like the St. Regis Maldives, St. Regis New York, St. Regis Punta Mita, et cetera, lock them in before September 14th while they're 85,000 points a night with that fifth night free. Because otherwise you're probably going to be paying 100,000 points a night on a lot of nights.
Yeah.
And your points just simply, obviously, don't go as far that way. So they're messing with my plans. Last story of this for me. I turned 40 not that long from now. And I've been planning this trip for a long time in my head, where all good trips are planned. And I want to go to the St. Regis Maldives. And, you know, I had a reservation not that long ago at 60,000 points a night. With the fifth night free. So I held a reservation for five nights there for 240,000 Marriott points. Because these changes are going to kick in before the booking window for when I turn 40, and I don't want to go early because early would mean monsoon season, and that's not happening. It's going to probably be 400,000 points a night. So we're going from 240,000 to 400,000, probably, for the same hotel, the same length of time in, you know, roughly an 18-month window.
Yeah.
And that's a lot, and it's painful. And I, like I said earlier, I'm kind of waiting for the good news. We knew this was coming, but I hope there's something good around the bend in some form or fashion.
Well, I think the way they laid this out was definitely at the far end of the spectrum of, okay, you know, how could they possibly do this from the good end of the spectrum to the bad end of the spectrum. They definitely rolled it out in a way that's harder for members to figure out what it's going to cost them and more likely to cost them more. I think the other thing I would say, and I hope I'm getting ahead of myself, but one of the things I've seen bubble up in the past 6 months or so, and only a handful of times, are stories from my listeners and my readers where they booked something at a Marriott property, and it was an award booking, and they didn't notice that there was some crazy cancellation window, like 3 months or something like that, and they got billed some exorbitant amount of money to cancel, and it was like
St. Regis Aspen, watch yourself.
but here's the problem. I've heard it now for, and again, only a two or three properties. I haven't heard of 100. But we just assumed that those were mistakes. It was computer stuff.
It's not.
But if that starts to become the norm, then the peak off peak pricing changes aren't really helpful if they go down, because now you're stuck inside a cancellation penalty. So I do think that there's a chance that the very premium properties will adopt more stringent cancellation
kind
policies.
Kind of like the ski properties have, like right. Deer Valley, Aspen. Yeah. Yeah. Read those terms and conditions really carefully.
So if that starts to happen for folks, then they really can't wait and reprice because they'll be in a potentially, you know, painful situation from cancellation. Again, I thought these were just mistakes or properties that were like single rogue, but this might be the new way to get around off-peak pricing.
Gosh.
So we'll see.
That's not good news. You know, I said I'm waiting for the good news around the corner, and that's not it. So we're going to keep waiting.
So newsflash, guys, as we record this in late August, Summer will be waiting. And so we will check back in with her periodically to see if she's still waiting for the good news.
Or if she's like, you know, 2020 is the year of the Hyatt. We'll see. TBD.
Well, 2019 was the year of Hyatt for me. And 2020 will absolutely be the year of Hyatt for me. I could already tell that.
Hilton's bubbling higher on my radar. I'll say that.
I have more Hilton nights this year than I do Marriott.
I will requalify it as a Marriott Platinum in 2019. And then we'll just see what the plans become for 2020.
All right. Well, I'm not going to hold you up anymore from your goals for the day, but please do tell folks where they can track you down when you're not enjoying the Marriott changes here with me.
Absolutely. You can find me on both Twitter and Instagram at Mommy Points, M-O-M-M-Y Points, or you can find me on the Points Guy most days. You can just type in mommypoints.com. It'll take you right there.
Awesome. Summer, thanks a bunch for being on. Guys, I will be right back to sum up the episode this week with a quick final two pennies. We will be right back on the Miles to Go podcast.
This week's show is brought to you in part by AutoSlash. AutoSlash does one thing really, really well. They save you money on car rentals, and not just a little bit. They're always free to use, and there's two separate ways that they can help save you money. First off, if you start your booking process at autoslash.com, you'll enter in some key information, Costco membership, AAA, frequent flyer memberships, and they'll take all that information along with searching for any publicly available codes that you might not be aware of, and they'll find the best price for your specific car rental, which you can then go ahead and book. After you've booked, you can enter your car rental reservation into their tracking tool, and it will continue to track whether the price has gone down on your car rental or a new code becomes available that would save you more money. They'll notify you, and you'll be given the chance to rebook that reservation for less money. Even if you don't start the booking process with AutoSlash.com, if you booked it somewhere else, you could take your reservation number, key it into AutoSlash, and they will continue to track that reservation for free and let you know if the price goes down or if there's a discount code maybe you didn't know about right up until you pick the car up. Tons of different ways to save money with AutoSlash. It's 100% free, always 100% free. Give it a try and drop me an email. Let me know what you think about it. You can find them at autoslash.com. Back to wrap up this week's show with the final two pennies. While there are many lessons to learn from the recent Marriott changes, I'll leave you with just one that I want you to focus on, and it involves your wallet, which we've talked about quite a bit over the past few months. There is immense value in those credit cards that earn flexible currencies, such as Chase Ultimate Rewards, the Chase Sapphire, and the Chase Ink cards, as well as American Express's membership rewards program and the cards that earn membership rewards points. The old SPG credit cards used to be solid, especially because it was hard to earn a lot of star points. However, the new Marriott credit cards aren't nearly as lucrative. And if you've been spending on them in the past year, you might be stuck with a bunch of Marriott Bonvoy points that you could have trouble maximizing with the program changes that Summer and I just talked through. With a program like Ultimate Rewards, you could still transfer those points to Marriott, but you could also send them to Hyatt or IHG if one of those hotel chains made more sense. And if you just wanted to go the Airbnb route, you could transfer your points to an airline to use for airline tickets. So just a lot more flexibility there, which is always what I want us to be thinking about. We don't want to lock up too much of any one airline mile or hotel point, just in case there's a change that catches us off guard and hurts our ability to redeem our points in the future. That's a full wrap on this week's show. A big thanks to Summer for camping out and going through the Marriott changes with me. And as always, thanks to producer Mike and to each and every one of you for listening in, telling your friends, and helping us grow the show each and every week. I want to say a special thanks to you guys for helping drive us up the rankings on the various podcasting platforms. If you've got any questions for me, you can find me at pizzainmotion.com, blogging each and every day. And you can always shoot me an email, Ed at pizzainmotion.com. I love answering questions. If you've listened this far in the show, I have to believe that means you like what you're hearing. If that's the case, please tell a friend and make sure that you subscribe to get our episodes downloaded each and every week as soon as they're released. Until we upload again, we've got miles to go.